Cheers, Jeffy.
Hey, cheers, everybody. Good morning, Doc Phil, without a mic. How are you doing?
Good. Happy Saturday. I don't know where that...
Nice to see Doc Phil retired. He's now sharing a hams.
Oh, hey, Doc Phil gets the professional mic. You going to hang on to that like a rock star? Or put that on the table like Jay Thomas would do? We'll find out.
Hey, thank you, Valley Imports. The Hockey Guys brought to you by Valley Imports and Valley Pre-Owned, your best price leader in the region. Find your next vehicle at valleyimports.com.
Well, we should say Coach Wilson is laying on the beach in Thunder Bay.
Hunting camp must have been a little rough on him, so he had to go to the beach.
Maybe found a new girlfriend at the hunting camp. What do you think?
I don't know. I know Wils would be disappointed if I didn't give the shout-out on his behalf, so let's get this one over. Hey, Joe, thanks for the entertainment. Owen, appreciate you putting up with me. Steve, drinks Crown. Rob did the chili for us. Keith showed up just to drink. And Roger the dog was with us, and of course Wils was there, but also a little shout out to the potato grower up there, name that's familiar with myself, Dagan. So Justin, to the crew at Wilson's Hunting Camp, fun to sit and chat, even though there was no wild game that was served.
maybe they're fishing for steelhead.
Yeah. It could be.
Yeah.
Twin Lakes.
So everything Wils said was true then, huh?
Wils is sitting in his chair looking like he's in the hotel room. It was a rather unsightly sight. Hey, Jeff, I thought of something.
Uh-oh.
Wils,
I don't know, Doc.
This scares me.
I have grandkids, and we get them onesies. I think Wils should invent a onesies for people that are around his body style, because then they don't have to try to figure out which clothes to put on each day.
Well, they already have them. It's that long underwear with the back flap.
It's called the Hams beer costume.
Get Wils. We have to find a onesie for Wils.
Hey, a lot of exciting games last night. Boy, you mentioned one before the show starts, Doc.
Some upsets. Yikes.
The team down south of Fargo.
The Augustana Vikings. What is in the water in Sioux Falls? Holy cow.
You know, I there's a lot of parity in number one. But number two, if you're not ready to play, you're going to lose.
Absolutely.
You know, take a look at North Dakota last night. They were down 2-0 for two periods against Mankato, and 5-minute penalty called, right?
Yep.
And we're going to visit with Mike Schmidt. I said, give me 3 minutes, Mike. We'll talk to the head official for the NCHC starting the second period.
That's in between a major and a minor. What penalty is
that? That's kind of how we think refs officiate the game. They're trying to figure out how to create a new penalty.
So I don't want to get too much into that penalty and how that was called. But you take a look at, Augustana. Eddie, you know the coach down there really well. What's in the water down there?
I just think the players want to be there.
Yeah.
And I think if you get there and take a peek, there's not a lot of distractions. I think he's got a group of guys that are there, and it's pretty dialed in. It's pretty focused.
So how soon before they're rated in the top 20?
Yeah, they may have to pick off just a couple more teams, and then they should probably be sitting right in the middle
the number 12 team in the country. And it's like, and before that, I don't know. The game that didn't count. Yeah, the game that didn't count. I think they need to be ranked.
Well, I'm not disagreeing with you, Doc, but there was also another great game down in Duluth at Amsoil Arena.
Oh. Oh, yeah.
Minnesota 7, Duluth 5. You think that building was rocking with the Gophers playing in the range up there?
Absolutely.
The Dogs couldn't get out. They ended up with 5, and the Gophers, the Rodents picked one up.
You know, Duluth just couldn't come back from that big deficit. They were down by 4. But they came back in that third period. I bet that crowd was absolutely rocking in that third period, you know.
Absolutely. And the other thing is, what's going on in Madison? I mean,
Coach
Hasty just can't get them going. They're off to an awful slow start.
He's got to be pulling what hair he has left out, you know. But, again, it's great team, great players.
Mm-hmm.
But the question is, do they want to go on the ice and play their best ever as if it's their last shift on the ice ever?
Yep.
Every shift of the game.
Yep.
Because anytime anyone can come in and beat Wisconsin, it's like coming into the Ralph Engelstad Arena, the Mariucci, Amsoil, the Herb Brooks Arena, right? And
Stonehill. Where's Stonehill again?
New York.
And they thumped Lake Superior State.
That's, you know, I watched a little bit of that game when they played Augustana, and I thought they played well.
Well, and Providence bounced back, beat Arizona State 4-1.
Michigan.
Yeah.
Knocked off St. Cloud 3-0.
Big blue.
So, Arizona State and Providence popped back after that loss against North Dakota, 4-1 over Arizona State. Eddie. Your AIC versus Boston.
If I'm not mistaken, that was their first game against a Boston College since 1952.
Really?
Yikes.
Boy, 0-4 on the scoreboard, but that's interesting to watch because, again, I think you're starting to notice college hockey is starting to have a lot more, I think, crossover games than we used to have within a BC because they're afraid of an Augustana, BC because they're afraid of a few conferences are now stepping out and gives, again, Atlantic Hockey a chance. They just expanded their group, right? They had some things that went on here. But, yep. I mean, one of the other one games that I noted was Sacred Heart. You pick that score up, 3-2. Over Mass, so all of a sudden there's Mass, right? You're sitting with a major conference getting picked off by Sacred Heart, which is in Atlantic Hockey. So you've got that it's already starting to change the landscape. So I'm going to throw this one out because it's been fun to watch this summer and listen. Alabama's pushing hockey, putting 7,000 plus in the stadium, right? You got Kentucky. You have out west, you've got Oregon, you've got Oregon State, you've got
UCLA.
All of a sudden, college hockey is on the cusp of having to try to figure out what it's going to do in order to accommodate the number of potential D1 hockey teams that could be.
Welcome.
Absolutely. You look at Big Alabama. 10. Wouldn't that be a nice addition to the NCHC, huh? However, you imagine
that might get NDSU talking hockey because they'd have a football tie with hockey if they were to take a look at getting back into hockey at NDSU.
Oh, I'll tell you what, that boat was in the dock.
Oh, you're rattling
a long time
some cages out there. Yeah. What's that, Doc?
That boat was in the dock for a long time, and then they just sent it down the river. It's too bad.
You know, Quinnipiac won Maine 2. Maine's going to be a tough out
year.
Look at you know, Maine's, they came on at the
Maine's
end of last
set number
season.
One to start the year. Pairwise, Maine's number one.
And the last score we'll mention, Northeastern 2, Denver 5. And Denver is raising the national championship banner tonight. Their 10th national championship banner hanging in their arena. Think their fans are going to be excited?
Gives us something to chase, right, Jeff?
Absolutely. Absolutely. But Denver... You know, Eddie, we only got 30 seconds here real quick, but I'll mention this. We're going to have Mike Schmidt coming up here at the second period, and we have Coach Brad Berry who will be joining us for the third period. Eddie, take us out.
And to our intermission sponsor, Hams Beer, Beverage Wholesalers, we appreciate your sponsorship of the Hockey Guys, and we start this show out with a cheers with a Hams each Saturday morning live. The purest water, choicest barley and grain. With a little hops. We'll be back on the Hockey Guys.
Welcome back to the Hockey Guys. Late in the second period against Mankato, Minnesota State Mankato. North Dakota was down 2-0. Mankato scores a goal, making it 3-0. Late in the second period. After the goal, North Dakota coach Brad Berry calls the ref over and says, "Hey, there was a hit to the head like a minute ago, and you missed it. I called the flag." They went back and rewinded and said, "Yep, there was a hit to the head." They disallowed the goal. Guy sat 5 minutes, his teammate, in the sin bin, and he was kicked out of the game. And I'm sitting there saying, I never knew coaches had a red flag in their pocket that they could call a penalty 5 minutes ago. So I called the best referee ever, the most knowledgeable official on the face of this earth, Mike Schmidt from the NCHC. Mike, good morning. How are you doing?
Good morning. How are you all doing?
Good. Good. Did I kind of explain that correctly?
Yeah, you did, actually. You explained it pretty good there. And I didn't even know what was happening because I was busy watching my game in my league last night. And then, you know, I got your text last night regarding that. And I went back and after my games, reviewed it and talked to the actually director officiating for the CCHA that was at the game and got the whole scoop on it. So,
for a kid from Minot, you're telling me Jeff can actually pay attention?
He was actually spot on this one here. Amazing, right?
Well, I immediately texted you and said, how far back, Mike, can the officials go or the coaches say, hey, like 5 minutes ago
Previous whistle. Previous stop.
Exactly. Exactly, the whistle. And so what they can do is they can do it till the whistle. And if the whistle would have happened, at, like say after that goal, and they would have dropped the puck.
Oh, you heard that, didn't you? Mike, that was Eddie's third hams this morning. So he's catching up from missing the last 2 weeks.
There we go.
But that's just a smart coach knowing the rule and using it to his advantage. And that's what it's all about. I think that's a cool thing.
And then, exactly. And I'm sure it came from up top. Ryan LaDuceur is their video guy. And I'm sure that came up top. And basically, what you can do is you can challenge any unobserved major penalty. You can't challenge a minor, but any observed possible major penalty, and that's what they did. They went back and looked at it, and I looked at it in the tape, and if that was in my league, I would expect that to be called a five. If you don't call that, you're going to have a hard time explaining to North Dakota why it's not called, when I think it's easier call to call it the five in a game because it was definitely contact the head. Is that east-west hit, and he really didn't have to hit the guy. I mean, the puck was already released. It was kind of a, I hate to say it, but a dumb play in the Mankato player, and really turned that game around.
Oh, absolutely. North Dakota came out in that third period in the first 50 seconds, scored two power play goals back in the game, and Wilkie knocks it in for the game winner and just let the whole air out of Mankato. Million-dollar question, though. If North Dakota was wrong, what happens to North Dakota?
Penalty.
Well, if I don't know if they still had a timeout left. If they still had a timeout left, then it would be their timeout would be taken away from them. If they didn't have the timeout left, then yeah, minor delay game.
Delay game.
All right. So it's either a 5 minute against them or a 2 minute delay game against the team calling it, or if there's a timeout left, you lose your timeout.
You lose your timeout, exactly.
Now, where does the clock go? Does it start where the officials
it goes back,
huh?
Yep. Yeah, it goes back to when the time you go on the clock, and then you would go back and look at the clock, and then when the hit happened, and you know when the whistle, you could probably, you know, kind of, you know, when the whistle, when they would have touched the puck, so you put time back on the clock, take the goal off, and now the interesting thing on that is, on this whole scenario, is that if a penalty would have happened in that minute, let's say Mankato would have taken a penalty,
yeah.
And you still would call a penalty. So that's the only that does not get taken off is penalties do not. You go back a minute and you still put the penalty up on the clock. So penalties do get served in that time period.
Wow. That's like a double win. You get the guy off.
So he gets a 2 minute penalty
and then
plus the five.
And you get time back on the clock. Jim Johansson referred to that as a veteran move.
Ooh. When there was only two referees on the ice, Mike, now the five of you on the ice got to have calculators to figure out how much time to put back on the clock.
Well, then you got coaches that are watching, the video coaches, and they're challenging. It's like, how many sets of eyes do you have in a game right now, right?
North Dakota, there's about 12,000.
Hey, I want to ask you a serious question. So you used to signal to your family, but now with all the cameras on, it's almost like you have to get the little secret transmitter type put in so you can actually get a little shout-out to your bride while you're reffing a game.
Yeah, it's impossible nowadays. It's impossible nowadays. You gotta hide everything, and there's way too much. Well, in fact, my guys in Duluth last night, the mics didn't work, and they were going. It was kind of weird to do a game without mics. They said, it's just all this electronic stuff.
Are they yelling or what?
No, that's actually good. I should have them start yelling out there, because I think they could have probably heard them in that barn last night when it was like 4-0 after the first with Minnesota, and I'm sure Duluth's barn was pretty quiet. So
yeah, Duluth came back though. Sandlin must have pushed the right buttons, you know. Yeah, well, is there any other interesting new changes in college hockey, Mike?
Yeah, we got. I mean, this is a new rule change year. I'm going to hit the ones really quick. Is that like the faceoffs? We remove centers now, except after a no change situation. So instead of putting the arm up and giving a warning, centers will be removed, and we think that's helping out faceoffs now because the center wants to take the faceoff. Like the situation last night, this is kind of the biggest one. If that would have been a call on the ice, that 5-minute major, right? If they would have put their arms up in the air and had that call, they can review that now, and they can come out with a 5-minute major, a 2-minute minor, or no penalty at all now. Because we can come out with no penalty at all, because what's been happening in the past is you see these big hits, center ace, the head goes flying back, and the arm is going to go up because it's a big hit. Then you go review it, and you're going, holy crap, it was the shoulder to the chest. It wasn't even a penalty, but we had it called a 2. Now we can go back and either call the 5, a 2-minute minor, or nothing at all. So that's probably one of the bigger changes of the year.
And Mike, is that due to the fact that you may have had a little bit of so-called acting or diving that, when guy gets hit and he throws his head back, is that maybe came into play on that decision?
Absolutely. It's partly that, and it's partly because our guys are so trained now that we have to protect the players so much, the high, contact of the head, that minute there's somewhat of a high hit and the head went back, our guys' arms are going up in the air just naturally. And we had situations last year. You look and going, God, it wasn't even a penalty.
Yeah.
And so now we can alleviate that. So those are the bigger ones there on the calls. And then we got the double jeopardy is taken away. So if you guys remember, if a guy has a breakaway, he gets hooking called on him, so we have delayed penalty, and then that team scores, they'd still have to serve the 2-minute minor. But now that's taken away. So it kind of goes back to the way it was in the past. If you score on that delayed penalty, they don't have to go down a man. I like that rule a lot. So,
Mike, any thought about tightening up the time limit between the whistle and then the next faceoff? Like the IIHF does it like 25 seconds. You're not in the circle. They're dropping the puck. I mean, it just seems like there's a lot of dawdling going along. And just keep the game going.
Thanks, TV.
You're right. Oh yeah, and we do have a time. I mean, there is a time. Like by the time the referee puts his arm up for the change, and then puts it down, there is a clock that starts ticking, so to speak. And a lot of times we probably don't adhere to that. It's like about 8 to 10 seconds after the hand goes down. We think actually it's going to be a little bit quicker this year with the centers being ejected, because centers want to take the face off. The centers want to take the face off because it's happened last weekend. I was watching and a couple wingers encroached, and they kicked the center out, and you can see the center go right to the winger. I want to take this face off. So they are listening a little bit more and getting it quicker, but that is one thing that we do need to speed up a little bit. I think this will help a little bit.
Yeah, I think you will. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, the game of hockey right now at college level, Mike, is so fast, and I can see where you see a head go back, you immediately blow the whistle, right? And then the question comes down, let's review it for a 5, a 2, or was it a shoulder? In those situations, I love that rule. I love that rule. The other thing, Mike, is, I mean, you're going to have start having a weight limit on your referees with the speed out there. I mean, holy cow, wearing that tight belt around the stomach below a Velcro belt below the underneath the jersey. Hey,
Jeff's trying to take my thunder. Refs need to keep up.
We have a lot of
players got faster.
Yeah, I agree. I agree 100%.
I'm going to cut you off, Mike, before you say something against me. Hey, Mike Schmidt, we'll let you go. Thank you for being a good friend of the show, buddy.
Thanks, Schmidt.
Absolutely. Have a good day, guys. Later, man.
And our intermission sponsor, Citywide Electric. We appreciate the experience you can trust for design, repair, and installation of any home or business electrical projects. That's citywideelectricnd.com. And we'll be back here on the Hockey Guys with Coach Brad Berry after this brief intermission.
Welcome back to the Hockey Guys. Coach Brad Berry from North Dakota Hockey, we know your time is limited. Thank you for joining the show this morning.
Yeah, thanks, fellas. It's great to be on.
Brad, we've got a question because last night that was just a move I have not seen in a long time where you guys had gone back and somebody did the call come from you at the bench or was it upstairs that we need to review that because that looked like a hit to the head because that was a game-changing call.
Yeah, you know what? Even though that we saw it on the bench, I got to give the accolades to Ryan LaDucer, our hockey ops person that's in the stand. He's up in the press box. He radioed down to Carl Gehring and he said, hey, we should review that one. It looks like it's hit the head. And at the very least, you know, if it is a 5-minute major, it negates their third goal, which was huge. And
right.
So, yeah, I got to give kudos to Ryan LaDucer. He was the one that told us to challenge it, even though that we had an idea. But he had a really clear view through the video process up in the press box.
Yeah, good team call.
Yeah, Ryan, been with you for a little while, and it's nice to see him get a role that's actually official, Coach. So, Eddie here. So, yeah, huge win. You guys needed that one to get rolling the right direction this fall. So, give us a little insight into the group you have, if you wouldn't mind, Coach, and how all the summer things happened and where you're at.
Yeah, you know what? It's a whole new group, and I think you can tell a little bit. And I mean that in a good way. You know, guys are kind of getting a feel. The young guys, you know, the 8 new guys are getting a feel. We got 11 new faces in our locker room, 3 transfers in there, but they're getting a feel of what the NCHC and how we play is all about here. You know, we're running into some tough teams early on here. You know, we play Providence, we got Mankato, we got BU next week, and then Cornell. So we've got some really top end ranked teams. So it's been a hard schedule, but I think it's been good for us because, you know, we're going through some growing pains here a little bit. And we're getting a couple of results here through Providence and the first game here and it wasn't our most polished or best game last night, but we found a way to win and the key was our power play getting us going. And then I thought in the third we got rolling 5-on-5 a little bit. But for us it's trying to teach these young guys how we play to our identity, how we play in our league and getting better each day.
Brad, Jeff here. Say you'd mentioned about having a young team, but you've got a couple. And I'm not saying just a couple. I mean, you've got 5 seniors, but I look at the leaders, Cameron Berg, Jamernick, your captain, the leadership quality of them. You talk about the 2 goals get your game last night. They each got a goal in the power play to get your team back in the game. And then your transfer senior, he gets a game winning goal. Talk about the senior class and the leadership that group brings.
Well, you're exactly right, Jeff. You know, when you have a new group coming together and everybody trying to find their way and getting their role and trying to perfect it, you need the leadership to step up. They stepped up last night in regards of scoring those goals at key times, and that's a big deal. And if you don't have that leadership, then it's going to be a difficult time for you to have success here. And you know, they do a lot of really good things with our guys. They mentor our guys, you know, on and off the ice, and they teach them, you know, how to do things the right way here. So, you know, it's probably no surprise that they factored in on the score sheet last night when we really needed them. And I think that allows the younger guys to know that, hey, you know what, these guys are leading the way and taking the slack right now. And they know that the younger guys, their time's coming here as far as, you know, taking that over.
And you know what's really cool, Brad, is that their key to their game is effort, and they lead by example in what it takes to be hard to play against every second of a shift they're on the ice. That's what's so cool about those guys. Jake Smaltz, you want to win a faceoff? Throw him out there, right? Another senior.
Yeah, 100%. You know, and at the end of the day, you know, when the game's on the line, at the end of the game, you want those guys that have experience to be out there. You know, the last 3 or 4 minutes, you know, when they didn't pull their goalie to like about a minute and 10, minute 20 left in the game, but you know, those last 3 or 4 minutes leading up to that, those are important times where you want your key experienced guys on the ice, and they did a good job last night.
Well, and you talked about your schedule. It's not a cupcake. You said Boston and then Cornell. That's two of the best top 10 teams in the country for the last 30 years you're going against, right?
Yep.
On the road.
Yep. Yeah, 100%. And like I said, everybody goes, well, why do you make that schedule? Well, you know, we make our schedule like 2 or 3 years in advance. So you have an idea what those teams are going to look like. You know they're going to be good, but, you know, we embrace that. Like, it's going to make your team better. Like, when you play against teams that probably aren't as good, and, you know, I think that creeps in a little bit of, you know, bad habits and different things like that where you can get away with. But you can't get away with a lot of stuff against, you know, good teams that we're playing against right now. And it shows, like, you know, at the end of the day, you know, there's some shifts that are a little overwhelming for our guys, but they're learning how to get through them and learning the right things how to do it. And it's going to make you better in the end.
Hey, Brad, I just have a comment. But what do you think about Augustana? I mean, that's really been kind of the bright little spot so far at the beginning of the season. It's just fun to see another team get into the NCAA, but also be successful.
Yeah, well, for sure. You know, like at the end of the day, you know, they went into Omaha. I believe it was in Omaha last night. They beat Omaha 1, and you know, they're a good team. You know, they've got older players. They've got some transfers as well. They picked up some guys in the transfer portal, and you know, that shows you the parity in college hockey. And you know, you see Lindenwood. You know, they upset a top-ranked team last week. And at the end of the day, that's what college hockey is all about. And, you know, there's a lot of good coaches, a lot of good players, and that allows a lot of good parity in college hockey.
So when you play Cornell, you're going to be the last. Hopefully you maybe meet up with them in the playoffs. But Mike Schaefer, who has been at Cornell since bread was invented to be sliced, right? What has his leadership in college hockey meant over the past, well over 30 years?
Yeah, well, you know what? He's lived through a lot. You know, he started young as a coach, and, you know, now he's to the point where he's, you know, going through his last year into retirement here. And, you know, he's done a lot to build the college hockey game for sure, you know. You know, he's always had good teams at Cornell. He's always been a good coach, and the fact that he's helped younger coaches come through the ranks, and you know, he's left his mark at Cornell. You know, they've had outstanding teams year after year, and again, we wish him well. I know, obviously, it's going to be a hard test for us going there, and you know, he announced his retirement a year early, and before the season starts, and he'll retire at the end of the year. But I know that'll get a bump out of their guys, knowing that they want to play hard for him for his final year of coaching.
Brad, last question for you. Then I know you got to run out. What did you learn in the process of a son? And I don't know how much we can talk, but the learning of the process of your son being recruited to Division I college hockey and a program, frankly, that's going to be one of the top programs in the country down in a few years.
Yeah, you know what? And I, first of all, I'm proud of my son. You know, he always grew up around the game, always came to the rink all the time, had a passion for the game of hockey. And, you know, I've kind of let him kind of take that passion on his own. I didn't force it on him at all. And at the end of the day, just proud of him as far as, you know, going through the ups and downs of hockey and staying with it. And finally, you know, playing in the USHL, he's in the second year. He accepted a scholarship to St. Thomas, and which is going to be a little awkward because they're going to be coming in our league here in another year or so. And, but like I said, I think it's a situation where you try to help young people grow, and it's my son in this situation, and them embracing the challenges of real life. And again, I can't be more proud of him.
Hey, Coach Eddie here. So you know already that you've got your teammate you can lean on a little bit, because now you'll go know what Scotty Sandlin went through watching his kid come out with a team that did similar things, right? Other than not in the same league. But Scotty went through that, and like you said, just like you did. And it's fun to watch. Some people may not realize your son's in Muskegon, and there's a little bit of ties to North Dakota with Evan Trump as assistant coach there. So there's a little influence that you have, and obviously you have some players in your roster that came through Muskegon. That USHL team is doing a good job developing, as the local team here, the Forests, are as well.
Yeah, 100%. I appreciate it. Yeah, for sure. And, you know, having guys, good coaches that can nurture these young players, and they do have that in Muskegon as well as a lot of USHL teams. But at the end of the day, you know, it is about development. Like, we're going through some times right now here with our group here. We're finding our way, and there's some shifts that it doesn't look great, and some shifts look really good. And that's all part of the growth process, and you got to know that. And at the end of the day, I think the teams that get to where they want to go at the end of the year, the teams that develop players and stick with them and believe in them and try to make them better each and every day, and that's, at the end of the day, that's what our job is to do.
Brad, Phil here. One quick question. Do you find that there's really a shift with the professionals as far as the scouts? They're looking more towards leaning kids and steering them a little bit to the NCAA because they know that development process might be a little bit better than Major Junior Canada?
Yeah, that's a great question, for sure. I think at the end of the day, it gives players a little bit longer timeline to develop in case they do need it, you know, going through the college ranks. But now, and I'm not going to get into it, but the NCAA now, with the de-legislation of the CHL rules, the Canadian Hockey League, major junior players coming in now, it's going to be really interesting to see how that dynamic is going to work if more players are going to go north, knowing that they're eligible to play college. I don't really know, but at the end of the day here, I do know that playing the college game allows players a little bit longer timeline to get to where they need to go if they want to keep playing the game.
Absolutely. Brad, thank you for joining us.
Thanks,
we know. Greatly appreciate it, Coach. You're a great friend of the show.
Thank you, guys. Have a great weekend here.
Go win tonight.
Go win, Coach.
Yeah, let's go.
The Hockey Guys, brought to you by Gateway Chevrolet, our intermission sponsor. Gateway Chevrolet, where you can save big on Chevy, Silverado, Equinox, or Blazer. Go online at FargoChevrolet.com. We'll be back here on the Hockey Guys. Lots of things to catch up on. Got to make sure that we give a little shout-out to the guy in Thunder Bay, we think, on the beach. And we'll be back and wrap things up after the intermission.
Welcome back to the Hockey Guys. Boy, we've been rocking and rolling with the music and the guest today. And we got a caller here on line one. Caller, go ahead.
He's the man and the legend in his own mind. Dean is nothing unless he catches a whopper.
Well, thank you.
We better cut that caller off before he starts giving us stories on Wilson.
Thank you, Joe.
Okay, so predictions for tonight. What do you think?
You know.
Which game?
Any of them.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I got to believe that St. Cloud State, Michigan is going to be one to watch.
Yeah, that could be a good game.
I've got to believe Duluth, Minnesota is going to be one to watch. I don't think Scotty's going to want his team to give up 7 goals again.
Does Augustana play Omaha again tonight?
I believe so, yeah.
Wow.
Or is it home and home? I don't know.
That's going to be a big rivalry here. That's not that far away.
Absolutely.
If you need to go between those home and homes, Valley Imports, our show sponsor, they can probably help you out.
There you go.
You know, I think this year is going to be a lot like North Dakota playing St. Cloud over the last 2 years. Friday, one team loses 7-1, right?
Mm-hmm.
Next day, the winning team is 1 and the loser's got 8 goals. So I think this year the scores are going to flip-flop quite a bit. That's what my feeling is, Phil. Hey, NCAC revealed their 2025 CBS Sports television hockey schedule.
A few games on.
North Dakota at Arizona, Friday, January 10th. That's going to be a heck of a game.
Arizona or Arizona State?
Arizona State.
We need to make that distinction.
I think that
February
14th.
Yep.
February 14th.
Valentine's Day.
North Dakota at Denver.
Whoa.
National coverage.
Take your sweetheart to that game.
Ooh.
Huh?
Absolutely. Hey. Wow. I wonder if we can get our show from that game.
I don't think Jeff's going to want to take Wills to the game.
Yeah.
He got his sweetheart picture this morning. I don't think it's a good thing we're not on TV.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I did post that picture Will sent me on YouTube. And so if you're interested, you can check hockeyguys.com, wilsonpitcher.com, xrated.com. You know, Eddie, it was like 2 years ago after every show we waited for Steve Hallstrom to say, this is your final warning. This is your final warning.
We're still here.
And then if we didn't hear it after the show, we'd get in our cars, right? And, hey, Eddie, did Steve Hallstrom call you yet? No. Hey, wait a minute. I'm getting a call from Steve.
The good news is...
This is your final warning.
Hey, the good news is we started putting up the beer cans.
Yes.
Yeah, before we just left them on the floor, so at least we've cleaned the place up a little bit.
And then Addison, the producer, came along, and he's now has buzzers below our seats. So
turned into such a professional
operator. Our sponsors, Valley Imports, Hams Beverage Wholesalers, Citywide Electric, Gateway Chevrolet, and the Fargo Forest. We'll keep in touch with their coach as we move through the year. Bagan Strinden, but I'll give a little shout-out to Bagan Strinden, but also Matt Winkles. And then Dakota Refrigeration, Welton's Tire Service, Carpet World, and Halstenson Askew Wealth Management. So a fairly good list of folks that understand that the hockey guys are a little unique and different, and they're willing to associate with us, even though we may have some second, third warnings from the boss.
Well, Johnny Halstenson texted me last night and said him and Jock Lemieux are out shooting birds this morning. I texted him, call in to the show, gave him the phone number. They must be...
They slept in. It's foggy.
Yeah. I mean, the best time to go shoot some ducks, right? They must be traveling, sleeping.
Must be pheasants. Because the northern ducks are not down.
They're not moving yet.
It's not cold enough. No.
Yeah, it's just the pets, and all you got to do is...
Yeah. The other game I'm watching.
That's a duck call, right?
The other game I'm watching to stay on college hockey, I got to believe Wisconsin has to figure out how to bounce back.
Yes.
And then the one that might look at again is, should Sacred Heart pick off Massachusetts twice, Massachusetts will be on the outside looking in.
Yep. And if Maine can pick off Quinnipiac, I don't know if they do a series or not.
They are up tonight. Yep. Okay.
Eastern time. That's going to be a battle, isn't it?
Yeah.
So there's some interesting games and some crossovers and some of the stuff you're starting to watch. You know, Long Island University, not in anything, but they jumped right in. They're now Atlantic Hockey. And
I was so glad to hear Brad talk about, you know, they don't want cupcakes for their non-conference games. They want to play quality teams, and that's excellent for us. Yeah. But that's good for his team. But we as fans, we just enjoy that so much. It's such good quality hockey.
You know, fans that are knowledgeable understand what the gig is. But if anyone complains, I was going to say, Brad, anyone that complains and asks you why, just smile and just walk away. There's a reason why, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's the national championship at the end. You got 11 young kids coming in. Give them the best games. Teach them how to play against the best teams, right?
Well, and they can always just go down to the Purple Arena and watch other games if they want to, you know.
What, the West Fargo Packers?
Yeah.
Men boys hockey team led by that Bradall kid?
Yeah.
And a little look here that you probably noticed, a name that you might have thought was on the wrong score column, but Pitlick is at Mankato, had a couple of points. And that's a late Gopher exit. A late Gopher exit that went to Mankato. So you take a look and say, hey, this game of the portal has made the college hockey game a little bit of interest. But the other one that I think that's kind of fun when you look at it, and it's just things you see and you don't see, but Robert Morris is back in college hockey.
Absolutely. They had a game last night.
So you need to think that as we're talking about the growth, we also have those areas that maybe had to go in and do some extraordinary majors to try to keep college hockey on their campuses. So just kind of one of those schools I keep looking at, you know, Robert Morris has had a couple of infamous wins in their storied history, but to watch them fall off the map and then come back after 2 years, kind of nice to see that they're actually back getting to play some games against.
Well, and you know what? The other thing is, while we were talking off the air, hey, the expansion of college hockey, Alabama, Oregon, Oregon State, UCLA, hey.
It's coming.
It's coming.
Iowa State.
I just can't believe the Iowa schools don't have a team.
The Illinois teams are coming.
Yep.
So we're going to see some changes that will happen.
Did you say Illinois?
Got some bad.
Illinois.
You know, you have the basketball programs, wrestling programs saying don't add hockey. We've heard that before, right? Yeah.
Chicago, Illinois. It's kind of like having beers or, you like know, 20 beer.
Or Des Moines.
Des Moines.
Des Moines.
Yeah, yeah, you've had four beers this morning there, Eddie. Hey, listen, I know Terry from Fargo, North Fargo, listens all the time. Terry, thank you for listening. And
a little shout-out.
Eddie, we got 30 seconds left, my friend. Take us out.
A little shout-out to Doug. I'm continually down in San Diego, and Doug shows up, and we always make sure we get somewhere where we can have hams on the choice of beverages when we're down there sitting and catching up on life. So big hockey guy, big hockey fan that was from Omaha, and kind of follows the game pretty good. But again, we appreciate Valley Imports and Valley Pre-Owned Hams, Beverage Wholesalers, Citywide Electric, Gateway Chevrolet, the Fargo Force, Bag and Strinden, Dakota Refrigeration, Welton's Tire Service, Carpet World, Halstenson, Ask You Wealth Management. Thanks for being a part of the hockey guys. Jeff, hey, thanks for letting me back in week 3.